And welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexrode from The Athletic taking you through this Friday morning. Switching gears now, getting into a little Titans talk. And to help us do that, we're going to bring in one of the best, our good friend Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter. TD, what's going on, my man? How you been?
Hey, good morning. How's everything?
Not bad. How are you and the family been through all this crazy time we're living in?
Oh, you know, just maintain it, man. Just keep pushing. That's all you could do. So we've been well. Hope everything is going well with you and yours also.
Thank you very much. And Teron, we've been talking the last couple of days just about this Vic Beasley situation, you know, not reporting to camp. For a while, nobody had heard from him. And then John Robinson came out with his statement yesterday saying that he's been in contact with Vic Beasley. What do you make of this situation with Beasley, and how big of a deal is this in the grand scheme of things?
Well, the report that came out yesterday said that he had a death in the family. So, I mean, I think that's a valid excuse for not coming to camp. I think really where the problem lies is the failure to communicate, and that's a bit of an issue. And the thing is, just when I look at everything in the grand scheme of things, it does actually have a lot of weight, because here's the thing. This is a guy who, right, wrong, or indifferent, did not have the best reputation coming out of Atlanta. And knowing that that was the case, when you have someone that's giving you a clean slate, you want to do everything you can to keep that image, whether it's accurate or inaccurate, you want to keep that from being the case, like from being reinforced. So I think it's not good from a perspective of him getting off on the right foot, but at the same time, there is a human aspect to it. If he did have a funeral, that's something, or a death in the family, that's something that definitely, you know, without a doubt should warrant, you know, a bit of a courtesy, you know, extended to him to not have to report on time.
Well, you brought it up, TD, and we've talked about this before. I believe when he signed, I think you said you were a little surprised by that based on, you know, some reporting you'd done, some things you'd heard. As you said, there is the knock on Vic Beasley and the question of, you know, whether he loves football. You know, he's been in the league a few years. Obviously, he had an incredible 2016, hasn't come close to that level since. I guess, you know, does this sort of match up with just this idea of, you know, is this guy all in, kind of match up with things that you had heard before they signed him?
Yeah, it actually does. And in talking to some of the people in the Atlanta media, and then just, you know, some people I know, you know, within the Falcons, yeah, that was something that was questioned, you know, his dedication and just his interest in doing things besides just sacking the quarterback. So that definitely wasn't a good look coming out of there. And then even just in some of the people that I talked to within the Titans organization, initially that wasn't the intention to sign him. So I was very surprised when they did, because I was told that there was an interest, but I mean, things could change, right? They may not have known that Clowney was going to stay strong on that $20 million a year demand that he had when free agency first opened. So things could change. But, yeah, it definitely lines up with, you know, what I was told as far as the work ethic and the dedication is concerned.
Well, TD, you brought up Clowney, and he's been kind of the man of conversation surrounding the Titans for what seems like the past 4 or 5 months. How do you anticipate this situation with Clowney playing out?
Yeah, I could see it playing out to where he doesn't sign right at the beginning of camp. I could see him not making a decision for a bit. And you have to look at it. That's what he did last year. Now, obviously, last year it was a totally different situation because everybody was in camp. Everything was normal. But I could definitely see that happening. And he has the advantage, because it goes back to what we said before. This scheme here with the Titans is the most familiar scheme for him. Like, he understands that scheme. He's been in it before. It's very unlikely that he goes to Seattle. So, you know, I would think that the best situation for him would be with the Titans, and that would allow him, that familiarity would allow him to kind of extend it later into August and closer to the season.
So even if Beasley, you know, say Beasley shows up today and takes the test and all's fine, or soon, do you think that this episode has made the Titans or will make the Titans look at the Clowney situation differently? And on the flip side of that, does this, I guess, play into Clowney's hands when you're talking about whatever that number is and however the negotiations might go?
I think I don't think it will completely change the way they look at the Clowney situation. I would definitely think that, and it's speculation, but I would think that that would make them kind of strengthen their stance as far as wanting him. But at the same time, money-wise, I don't think that that's going to change, like give Clowney a better advantage from the negotiating standpoint. I think it pretty much is what it is. He knows the best chance for him to have success and to really spring this into what he would hope will be a big deal next year. We don't know how the salary cap's going to look, but I think that a one-year audition with the Titans would be better than a one-year audition with most other teams.
Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, on the line with us. Teron, when you look at the Titans secondary without Logan Ryan, with, you know, Malcolm Butler, Adoree Jackson, Christian Fulton coming into the mix, how do you feel about the secondary? Do you still think it has a chance to be pretty good, provided that everyone stays healthy?
I think it does have a chance to be pretty good, and it starts with the safeties, and they are extremely deep at safety, starting with that tandem of Byard and Vaccaro. That is one of the best in the league. And then Amani Hooker and Dane Cruikshank, I think they're going to be big time in a lot of the sub packages, especially when they go big nickel. If a team likes to use tight ends a lot and flex them, I think that gives them, you know, an option as far as Amani Hooker is concerned. And Cruikshank made some good plays in that Ravens game, and a couple of them came in coverage in a proximity to Mark Andrews, the Ravens tight end. So I think the safeties alone are good. The addition of Christian Fulton, I think, was outstanding, and he's going to be a factor for them playing nickel, playing on the outside. I really love the way he's able to pattern match, and he does a really good job of undercutting routes and knocking the ball out. So I look forward to just seeing how they mix him in. And Adoree Jackson, I think, will play some nickel. I think they're in good shape there as far as having guys that could cover downfield, and that's something that they had issues with early in the season last year, but they were able to curve that and limit those big plays. So that's something. And with Malcolm Butler coming back, they're in really good shape, in my opinion. And then you add in Jonathan Joseph. So I think not having Logan Ryan takes away that one person that's always going to play the nickel. I think now, according to teams that they will play, they could rotate different guys in there, Adoree Jackson, Fulton, Cruikshank, as well as Amani Hooker.
Well, TD, we've had two players available so far in camp, and I know it's not really camp right now. It's sort of this, you know, ramp-up period. But one of them, Ryan Tannehill, no surprise, starting quarterback. The other one, Logan Woodside. Both of those guys were on Zoom calls yesterday, and maybe I'm jumping to conclusions here, but to me it kind of strengthened the fact that they made him available. Strengthened my feeling that they are not going to go out and get a veteran, that they are rolling with Tannehill, with Woodside. I think that's a bit of a gamble, but I also think we saw a year ago he's improved a ton. What do you make of the quarterback situation, and do you think I am jumping to conclusions there?
No, I don't think you're jumping to conclusions. I think, obviously, Ryan Tannehill is an outstanding player when he's healthy, and he showed last year that he could play, you know, a good 10 games and be healthy there. But the problem remains that since the beginning of 2016, he's missed, I think, is 24 games or so. You know, 20, it's in the 20s. So that's a bit of an issue. ACLs happen, right? So his knee injury, that's something that, you know, took 16 games away from him. But I think, you know, given his injury history, the backup quarterback position with the Titans is something that will be of a bit more significance. at the same time, they really seem to be very confident in Logan Woodside. And I think the preseason last year kind of really piqued their interest, and then just the way he was with them throughout the process. That's why I asked him, you know, you were on injured reserve, but you still stayed with the team, and you prepared like as if you were going to play. And that's something that, you know, stood out to the coaches. Mike Vrabel has spoken about that. Arthur Smith has spoken about that. So that just kind of reinforced their belief that he could be their guy. And, you know, hopefully for the Titans' sake, Tannehill is able to stay under center for the duration. But they really feel that if something should happen, Woodside could come in and execute the offense and keep things rolling for them until Tannehill came back.
All right, TD, last thing for you. We've heard about Corey Davis, and I think they said on the Bussin' with the Boys podcast, he's been dealing with some turf toe, starts this year on PUP. How concerned should you be if you're a Titans fan that Corey Davis, at least to start this quote-unquote camp, is back on PUP once again?
I don't think there should be any concern just simply because of the fact that guys aren't really going out there and doing anything. And that's something that you have to look at. And he could be on that PUP and still get just as much work as A.J. Brown, who's not on PUP, just simply because of the fact that there's not much going on the field. Most of it is meetings, and that's even once they get that started. So he could very well be taken off the PUP list and, you know, put into action when they actually do on-the-field stuff. So I don't think it should be a concern at all.
Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, has been our guest here on Morning Drive. TD, so good to talk to you again, my friend. Thanks for coming on with us, man. We appreciate it.
Yeah, appreciate you guys. Take it easy.
Absolutely. TD. When we come back, we'll continue to talk about the Titans, react to a little bit of what TD had to say there. That's next. This is Morning Drive on ESPN 102.5 The Game.